This call is now being recorded.
Good morning, fellow company officers. This is Randall Hannafin, Vice Chair of the Company Officers Section. This is podcast is the third in the series created by the International Association of Fire Chiefs Company Officers Section. The IChiefs provide numerous opportunities for company officers to learn and grow professionally. As a member of the IChiefs, I encourage you to join the association in the section so you can access resources and networking the IChiefs provide. To learn more about a company officer membership, go to www.iafc.org/company officers and see how to join the section. Today's featured speaker is Dr. Pat Lynch, President of Business Alignment Strategies Incorporated, who's going to speak to us on the effective political engagement, mindset, and tips for the company officers. Good morning, Dr. Lynch, and thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Lieutenant. I appreciate the invitation.
All right. Well, can you provide the audience a little background and your experience related to political engagement?
Certainly. What I do is help first responders maximize their performance by removing or mitigating any obstacles to achieving their mission. And I'll just tell you a little bit about my background. I've had my own consulting business here in Long Beach, California for about 10 years, but I've been consulting for about 20 years while I was a faculty member in the California State University system. For the last 8 years or so, I've been working with fire and rescue agencies such as the Los Angeles Fire Department and the Long Beach Fire Department, because I really don't like what I've seen happening to public safety, not just in my own community, but across the country. And I've had a lot of other careers, if you will, in the public sector, the private sector. I've also had a lot of political experience in working kind of behind the scenes. I've never run for office. I've always been a behind-the-scenes person. So I think that given, you know, my experience, my interest in upgrading the level of public safety, you know, really across the country, and my political experience, I think I kind of have a unique perspective on this particular issue.
Outstanding. So what do you mean by political engagement?
Well, what I mean by that, first of all, fire and rescue professionals, as you know, you work in a politicized environment. And you have to, you have decision makers who have their own agendas that often conflict with those of public safety. And virtually everything that you do has a basis in political activity. Your agency's governing body, for example, is either elected or it's appointed by a politician. Your fire chief answers to that governing body. Your agency's budget is determined by a politician. And other aspects of your work are also determined by politicians. For example, here in California, state law limits where paramedics and EMTs can transport their patients. I know in Florida, the state legislature determines whether and how independent fire districts exist. So typically, you know, for example, something across the country is state laws typically determine whether or not builders must install sprinklers in commercial and residential buildings. So you are in a political environment. If you want to have a voice in what you do, how you work, how public safety is allowed to progress, then you must insert yourself into that political process. And so some forms that political engagement might take would be getting to know your local politicians and especially their staff, learning how your local government works and how your agency fits into that process. Learn who the key players are and what their interests are. Speaking to community members and educating them about the impact that your agency has on public safety is also a form of political engagement.
Outstanding. Part of the title is mindset. What do you mean by mindset and why is it important?
Mindset is the equivalent of, it is the same as mental preparedness, all right? So just as you wouldn't think of going into, you know, a fire or a hazardous condition without your PPE, think of mindset the same way for any interaction, any conversation, any task. In general, mindset is the way that we view the world. The proverbial glass, is it half empty or half full, is is a classic example. In other words, do you see the world as full of opportunities, or do you see it as full of challenges? So political mindset then refers to the way that you view this political environment in which you work. Do you see political engagement as an opportunity to increase your community's safety, health, and economic viability, or do you see it as a necessary evil to be avoided as much as possible? No pressure, but your community needs you to have a positive political mindset. It's important because the way we view the world or a given situation really has a profound impact on how we approach that situation and eventually how we live our lives. And that's because our beliefs form our language, and our language informs our ideas, that informs our behaviors, that informs our actions and thus results. So mindset really is critical. It's as critical as your PPE in going into a hazardous situation.
Well, very interesting points of view. From that, what tips can you recommend to our listeners?
Well, let me give you a few. Number one, politics is all about relationships. So what you want to do is develop solid relationships before you need to call on someone to do something or to listen to you. Identify the key players in your political process and get to know them. So at the top of your list should be the staff members of your politicians and administrative decision makers. The reason is politicians and administrators come and go, but the staff tend to remain stable. The staff are the gatekeepers to the decision makers. If you want an appointment, you need to go through the staff. The staff also are important influencers of the decision makers, especially, part-time politicians, which city council members, county commissioners, generally, they have jobs. And, they're part-time politicians. So they rely heavily on their staff. So the staff members do the research. They make the recommendations. They connect with people. They do the surveys. They generally know what's on the constituents' minds. So if they are the influencers. They make the recommendations. So get to know the staff members. Help them out when you can ethically do so, all right? Help them out with some other issues that aren't related to yours. Make their lives as easy as possible. Provide them with introductions to people they want to meet or their bosses want to meet. Make sure you're easily accessible, and be sure to thank them for the work that they do. Often, they're underappreciated, and I'm sure, Lieutenant, that you and your colleagues can relate to that, those of you, because I think you're way underappreciated. So are these staffers. Make them relate to you. Help them get to know your issues. Next, learn how your local government works and how your agency fits into the political process. For example, the fire chief seldom is the one who makes policy or resource allocation decisions. There's usually a board or a commission or some governing body that sets the policy, that sets the budget, that the fire chief and the agency then have to live with. So if you're complaining to the fire chief about the budget you have, you are talking to the wrong person. Find out who the right person is, the right people are, and communicate with them directly. Another thing you can do is approach everyone with this question in mind. What's in it for him or her personally to do what I'm asking that they do? What that means is that you frame your request or make your suggestion in terms that clearly indicate why that other person would benefit from following your advice or your suggestion. For example, local politicians want to get reelected. So it's important what's on their constituents' minds. It's important to know what's important to the voters. So what you might do is, let's say you have a city council. For each council district, identify the potential hazard in each one and then report factually, okay, not emotionally or don't make it bigger than it is, but report factually how the constituents in that district would be affected in case of a major incident, whether the hazard is a freeway, a river, canyons, an airport, a port, we have all of these things. Well, we don't have the canyons, but we have those other potential hazards here in Long Beach. So how would these politicians, how would their constituents react if there were, you know, an incident, a major incident? Another thing that you could do is educate yourselves about your agency's value, all right? What is the value that you provide to your constituents? It's not that you go on calls. It's not that you provide medical assistance. It's not even that you save lives, protect property and the environment. You create a public safety big picture. And my example of that is providing a safe, healthy, economically viable community, all right? You then, once you identify your community's public safety big picture, you educate others specifically about it, and you tell them what impact any changes have. So, for example, you educate them about what impact the inspections that you do have on the community's economic viability. What is the impact that sprinklers in buildings have on their personal safety? What is the impact of closing an engine company or truck company on their personal safety and health? Make sure, please, always, always work with your fire chief and your chief officers. Keep them fully informed about what you're doing before you do it. Do not let them read about what you've done in the papers. Do not let them, you know, to be taken by surprise by a council member or a commissioner who says, oh, chief, you know, I hear that your firefighters are doing X, Y, and Z. Collaborate with them. Each of you has a role to play. So make sure you play the role and make sure that others are on your side. So let me give you a couple other quick tips. When you're approaching politicians, now, politics is a process. It's not an event. It's not a task that you can, you know, check off and you're done. Political engagement is ongoing. So there's a before, a during, and after in approaching politicians. Before, you want to develop the relationships before you need them. You also want to do your homework, so you're very prepared when you get there. During the meeting, you want to stay on point. Take notes with you, be very succinct, be very clear, and don't forget to ask for what specifically you want them to do. Afterwards, follow up with them to see what they're doing, how you can help them, and be sure to thank them. Always thank them. And then finally, use your existing competencies in the political arena. You all have skills right now at this moment that you can transfer to the political arena. For example, situational awareness. You do that every day. It's drilled into your heads. What are your stakeholders thinking? What are your politicians' issues? What's in it for them? So be aware of what's going on in the political arena. Triage, again, something else you deal with every day. When you're dealing with others, you want to cultivate your supporters, those who are on board, they're on your side, maintain the relationships, nurture those relationships. You want to spend as little time as possible with people who are firmly opposed to your issue. All right. You do not want to ignore them, but you don't want them to bog you down. And then you spend most of your time with those who are undecided. So those are a few things that your company officers can do right now today to become engaged in the political process.
Wow, it's a very extensive and comprehensive list. Where can our listeners go to find more information to help them engage more effectively in the political process?
No, Lieutenant, there are a ton of resources on the IAFC website, iafc.org. Just to name a few in particular that relate specifically to political engagement, go to the webinar page. In July 2014, I conducted a webinar with Fire Chief Kingman Schultz from Greater Naples Fire and Rescue in Florida called Wicked Problems, Political Acumen. We also wrote a series of on-scene articles beginning in September 2014. I think there are four or five of them. So if you go to the on-scene page of the website, they all begin with the Be Political Without Being a Politician. There's one that talks about, they're all tips. So they're lists of tips, specific tips that Chief Schulte and I came up with and provided for the scene. So there's one on planning and mindset. There's one on working with political officials, gaining buy-in. So take a look at those articles. There's also an excellent report called How to Develop a Political Action Plan that was developed by the IAFC based on an IAFF document. It's 8 pages. It's a step-by-step how-to. And so I would go first to the IAFC website. And then secondly, as I said to you, Lieutenant, I've written a booklet called How to Create a Community of Advocates for Public Safety that I'm, you know, it's for sale on my website. However, I'm willing to make it available, the PDF version, to your company officers. And based on my conversation with you, I understand that if they go to the company officers' webpage on the IAFC website, that they can access both this podcast and the PDF version of this booklet.
Outstanding. Yes, we will make those things available, and we'll try and provide the links to the resources that you've mentioned to make it a one-stop shopping. Well, it's been a very informative conversation, and I thank you for taking a few minutes to help the company officers, again, the next generation that will be providing leadership in our fire rescue organizations. And once again, I thank you, and have a great day.
Thank you, sir. And thank you for your service.